Well, we'd like to welcome everyone this morning and glad that you are here with us today. And, you know, we are ending up the year now, and this year we've had this wonderful theme, Christ the King. And we're going to be finishing up this year with this theme, and we're going to be thinking about Colossians chapter 3 and verses 18 through 25. Now, Brother Blake has just led us in a fantastic song, God Give Us Christian Homes. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning as we think about Christ the King. But let's remember that in Colossians 1 and verses 13 and 14, that the Bible says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The kingdom of the Son of His love. Christ is King. And we are in His kingdom if we are in Christ Jesus as children of God. And the book of Colossians is about how Christ is King over all things. And He has the supremacy. And everything is under Him. And at the end of the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, the end of chapter 3 in the book of Colossians, we see that Christ is the King of the home. When we think about our homes, think about husbands and wives and children, Christ is King over our homes. And that's what we would like to think about this morning. You know, sometimes we get the idea that Christianity does not extend outside of the walls of the church building. And we think, well, I'm at home and I can live my life the way I want. And I can live however I can decide how to live. And we do have a certain amount of freedom in Christ. But just because we leave this building and head out into the world does not mean that Christ is no longer King. Christ is still our King. Whether we are in the building or outside of the building, whether we are at work or whether we are at play, whether we are at home or whether we are somewhere else, Christ is still King, and we need to understand that. Some may behave as if Christ has no authority over his or her own personal life, but that's just not the case. The Bible teaches that Christ is King over all of our life, at all places and at all times, and that this especially includes my home and my work life. Well, we'd like to talk about what Christ has to say about those things this morning. And that takes us to Colossians 3 and verses 18 through 25. Let's read them together, and then we'll talk about the various parts that are discussed here. First of all, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So let's think about Christ over the home this morning, that he is King of the home. And first of all, we want to talk about this first verse, verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. The word submit here means to obey or to be subject to or to be subordinate. And the word fitting means as it is due to one or as it is becoming. Now, in the Lord means that this is a relationship that a Christian wife should maintain with her Christian husband. Maybe the world does not agree with this teaching. There are many in the world who would reject this teaching. But this is a teaching of Jesus Christ. And we must respect Christ's teaching. If he is our king and we want him to be our king, then we must understand this teaching that he gives us. Now, we'll talk about the husbands in a minute. So husbands, you're not off the hook. But let's talk about what the Bible says about wives here for just a moment. Now, we think about Ephesians 5 and verses 22 through 24, complementing what Colossians 3 and verse 18 says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We also think about Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, which says to the older women that they are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And when we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, we read this: do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And so we have instruction given to wives in the Bible on how Christian women are to comport themselves in relationship to their husbands and in relationship to a society. Now, this is an important teaching of the Bible that we need to respect. And it is something that God knows what he is doing in this regard. Now, a lot of times, not just in these matters, but in many others, we think, well, I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what God's word says, and I'll be better off. But you know, the world is finding out more and more every day that women are not better off doing things other than what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. And while in the past 50 years there has been the so-called feminist revolution, the feminist revolution hasn't produced what it claimed to want to produce. And in fact, just the opposite, we've found that more and more women have decided that they would rather simply be keepers in the home, those who are rearing children and having children, and those who are going to then love their husbands and respect their husbands. And this has been more and more the trend than the opposite of that. What has feminism produced? It's produced all the problems that we have today in relationship to homosexuality and transgenderism and many other things that when we look at the world, we see are very messed up. Christ's way is the right way. Christ is the king of the home. And we need to remember that when we think about how we are to organize the home, and especially in regard to wives, ladies, and now in regard to husbands. Christ is the head of the home in regard to husbands being the head of the home. So when we think about husbands, Colossians 3 and verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. This kind of love is agape love, a love that seeks the highest good of one another and the highest good for the husband's wife. The word bitter here means to be exasperated or irritated, angry or grievous. And the Word of God, again, knows exactly what it's saying here because God knew what he was doing when he wrote this, because men, this is the area where we have the most difficulty. Being angry, being bitter, being grievous in regard to many things. But especially we need to not be that way in regard to our wives. That means we need to have patience and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. Now think about Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 through 30. This is addressed to husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? Number one, he gave himself for her. But number two, he sanctified her with the washing of water by the word. Now, I heard a story this past week in the news that there was a couple out camping in the wilderness and they were attacked by a grizzly bear of all things. And the grizzly bear went after this man's wife, and he actually intervened and fought this grizzly bear off and sent the grizzly bear on her way and protected the wife. And the news stories were saying things like Husband of the Year Award, you know, things like that. And I know, guys, that a lot of times we think about loving our wives as wanting to be like that. Or we're willing to fight off that grizzly bear, you know. But Jesus not only did that, he also took care of the church by washing the church with his blood, and cleansing the church. And that means taking care of something else. And the way that it's put here, the washing of water by the word, that is patient work. That is endurance. That is daily effort that Jesus made. You know, he was in the ministry on the earth for 3 years teaching before he went to the cross to die on the cross for us. And that work that he did during that time, what did he do? He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He touched the lepers. He washed the feet of the disciples. All of those things he did on a daily basis to show that it's more than just fighting the grizzly bear. It's more than just that. It's taking care of the daily things, taking out the trash, taking care of changing diapers when that needs to be done. I've changed my share of diapers. I've had four babies to change diapers for, so I know how that goes. But everything that's involved, husbands, we've got to be involved in everything, not just wrestling the grizzly bears. If you want to do that, good luck to you. But personally, I'd rather not wrestle a grizzly bear. But that guy, evidently, he gets the Husband of the Year Award. All right, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And so we are to dwell together. We are to give honor. We are to recognize that, you know, our wives, they have different bodies than we do as men. And they suffer different things as a result of that. And we are to respect those differences. Now, I know the world today is trying to make the point, oh, there's no difference between a man and a woman. That's feminism again. That's this notion that men can be women and women can be men. That's poppycock. You know, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that there are real differences between men and women, between husbands and wives, and those differences are to be respected, and those differences are to be honored. Amen. Now, that's something that we've got to stick with as we think about the Bible's teaching on the home. Husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things. Some might translate this young husbands here. It could be translated that way, but also young men. To be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And so, young men, young husbands, we need to set the example. We need to be the ones that our families look to when it comes to teaching God's word. We need to be educated in the word of God. We need to know it so that we can pass it down to our children. And that's something we've got to make an effort on a daily basis to do. And so husbands, we have great responsibility when it comes to our homes. But then Christ is king over our children as well. And you know, this is something we have to remember as husbands, as wives, as parents. Our children are a precious, precious resource for the Lord. They belong to the Lord. We are just stewards of them. Now, I know that it is one of our most precious relationships. And I know I've sat with parents who have lost their children, and they're devastated because they did not remember that their children belong to the Lord. And thinking about those things properly will help us to rear our children in a way that is going to honor and respect the Lord. Christ is king. He's king over wives, he's king over husbands, and he's king over our children. And our fathers and mothers are following the kingship of Christ, then the children will see that. And they will understand that mom and dad love Jesus, and they want to follow Jesus. And they will then follow them in following Jesus. And so, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Now, this is assuming, of course, that we have Christian parents. Now, there are many parents out there in the world today who are not Christian parents, who don't follow the Lord, and whose children do not have an obligation to obey them in all things because they're not in the Lord. They're not pleasing the Lord. And some children are in very tragic circumstances and tragic situations, and I understand that. And I've worked with families like that before, and it's very difficult. But you know, if they are Christian parents, then children should obey their parents in all things. And that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 6 verses 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now we are all to honor our father and mother, and that's where this is coming from. That's the fifth commandment, you know, in the Ten Commandments that were given. Honor your father and mother. And I continue to honor my father and mother, even though I'm a grown adult and living on my own. I want to honor my father and mother. And children that are growing up should honor their father and mother by obeying them. Our parents, children, God gave you your parents for a reason, so that you could have a place where there are those who are older than you, who have experienced life more than you, to help you understand how to get through life. And you need to listen to their wisdom, and you need to listen to their guidance, and you need to listen to their counsel, because they know, they've been where you've been, and they know what to do. And so we must honor our parents. Now I know that we live in a time when there are many out there in the world, again, who do not want to honor their parents. Many years ago, there was a saying, "Don't trust anyone over 30. And that was 50 years ago, so I suppose that those who said that are over 30 by now. And so I don't know if they're still trusting themselves or not. But you know, that kind of thinking, that kind of mentality is wrong. The kind of mentality that would separate the young from the old is wrong. God doesn't want that. What does he want? He wants us to be together in unity and love. And that means that the young need to respect the old, and the old need to understand and remember what it's like to be young, and respect the difficulty that the youth are going through. And we can work with one another in that regard. But we've got, the young have got to listen to the wisdom of the older, and the older need to honor and respect and think about how they can help those who are younger. And we can work together that way. We have a beautiful, beautiful situation in the Lord's church in that regard, because we have older members, we have younger members, and we all need to be together. And when we're all together like that, we can help each other in a great, great way. And so children need to obey their parents. Parents, we have a responsibility too to nurture and rear and to guide our children. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Colossians 3 and verse 21. And one way not to provoke your children is to always let them know who has the right to the remote control. And you can see that in the picture here. The right person has the remote control in this picture. Okay, I'm just kidding a little bit. I just wanted to lighten it up maybe a little bit. But when we're thinking about parents, we want to understand that parents have a tremendous responsibility to love their children and to keep their children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word fathers here is plural, and just like in other foreign languages, sometimes a plural word can mean both men and women. It can mean both parents here. It can mean both father and mother here. And it can mean parents even. It can be translated like that. Now, I know the King James Version translates fathers, but this is fathers in the generic sense, not in the specific sense. And so parents, we've got to understand that our children are a precious resource and that they belong to Jesus Christ and that we have a responsibility in regard to that to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have got to teach our children how to live. We've got to teach them what are the right things to do, what are the wrong things to do. We've got to talk to them on a daily basis and remind them. And yes, sometimes they don't want to hear it. I understand. Sometimes they experience problems and difficulties, and sometimes they want to do what they want to do. I know. But we've got to hold the line for the sake of Jesus Christ, because these children belong to him. And when we understand our responsibility as parents, that is the best way to rear our children, by teaching them and training them and letting them know that the Bible has the answers that we need. And we can go to the Bible and get those answers and work through it. And if our children know that, then they will always know where to go to find answers when they have difficult times in their life. They will always know to search the scriptures for what is right and what is wrong and how they need to respond to the situations they are in once they grow up. And so parents, we have a great responsibility. Think about Abraham, Genesis 18 and 19. And God said of Abraham, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So the Lord knew Abraham. He knew what his relationship with his children was like, and he knew that he could depend upon Abraham to do the right thing so that God could bless his children. Deuteronomy 6 and verses 6 and 7, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Whenever we're with our children, we need to be talking about spiritual matters. Now, that doesn't mean that we get all high and mighty and things like that, but just talk about their day. Talk about what happened. Talk about how they handled situations they got into. You know, all of these things. Children need to be taught. And if you know the Word of God, you can guide them even better as you teach them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You know, the culture that's around us today are saying, oh, children already know. They know. They know what their gender should be. They know what their orientation should be, all of that. They know. You just have to ask them. They know. Baloney. Children don't know. They have not been taught. They come into this world with a blank slate, more or less. And we have the opportunity to teach and to train them and to raise them up. They need to be taught. Children need to be taught. And it's not the case if you just ask a child, they will know who what they. They don't. Children do all kinds of crazy things. Sometimes they pretend they're cats. Does that mean that they should be a cat? Sometimes they pretend that they're an airplane pilot. Are you going to take them to a 747 and say, fly this from New York to Los Angeles and take care of all the past? No, you're not going to do that. Why? Because they don't know. We've got to teach them. We've got to train them. We've got to educate them and teach them what is right and what is wrong. Don't leave it to the world to teach your children what to believe and what to do. Train them up, men. Train them up. Mothers, fathers, do the right thing. Teach them what is right. And then finally here this morning, there's a section related to servants. Now, we don't have exactly the same situation they had in the first century. And so when we think about these sections regarding servants, we think about them in regard to employment. And we think about how in regard to our employers, employees and employer relationships, we want to be respectful. So we are looking at those relationships and we're saying, you know, in my relationship with my employer, I am going to do what my employer wants, unless it contradicts God's word, of course. You know, my employer can't ask me to do something immoral or unethical. Usually the contract that you sign says that. But when I work, I'm going to do the best I can for my employer. I'm not going to work as an eye pleaser. That is just, I worked with a guy one time who was just as lazy as all get out when the boss wasn't around. And when the boss came around, well, he looked like he had been working all day long, you know. That's not the kind of work I want to do. I want to be a good worker all the time. And I want to be sincere in my work. And I want to work as to the Lord. Again, looking at all these principles, who is king here? Who is the king? It's Christ. Christ is king. And he's king over me as a father and as a husband and as a child and as an employee. And we are then to give him honor in that regard. And I work for the Lord. He's my primary boss. When I work for the Lord, I'm working for him. And you should think the same way about your employment. You work for the Lord. He's your primary boss, you know. And we think if we think like that, we will do a great job in our jobs because we'll be working under the Lord's direction. And when we're working under the Lord's direction, we will do good things. And the Lord will bless us in doing good things as well. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9 also talks about this. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart with good will. Doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And with good will, that's how I want to be a worker. With good will in my heart toward others. And we've got to have that attitude within our lives as employees. And then as employers, we've also got to respect. If you're an employer, maybe you're a boss, you know. And you say, well, what is instruction for me? Well, respect those who work under you. Treat them well, you know. Give them their wages that are due to them. And then Christ will be the king of your life. Christ is the king of the home. He's king of the wives, he's king of the husbands, king of the children, king of parents, and king of servants. And so we owe our allegiance to him. Christ is king. And this morning, is Christ king over your life? Have you made him king? You need to be in his kingdom. And you can be in his kingdom by being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And how do we do that? By hearing his word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing him as Lord, as King, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can become a child of God this morning. You can make Christ king over your life this morning. And let him be king. Let him rule. Let him reign. His way is the best way. And we know that. And we don't have to be apologetic of that. We don't have to be afraid of that. We can stand up for that. We see the mess that's going on in the world today. And we don't want it. We want Christ as king over our lives. Make him king this morning while together we stand and while we sing.